You have heard the good news of God this morning, have you not? The gospel is the good news of God. There's not much good news around, as we've said week after week in this church. There's not much good news on TV. There's not much good news in the press, but we do have the good news of God. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul starts out by saying, I delivered to you of first importance. The most important thing, he says, is the gospel of God, the good news. He said that Christ died for our sin. He died for our sin because sin is the problem. Sin is what alienates us from God. Sin is the issue. Sin is what brought Jesus into the world to do something about our sin problem. Our sin separates us from a holy God. Our sin separates us from each other. The problem is sin, and Christ came into the world to do something about sin. He died for sin. He died for sin because sin requires death. The wages of sin is death. He died in our place. That's why he died. God put him on that cross because of the sin problem and killed him, allowed him to die for our sin. So because sin required death, the payment for sin required death. He was buried. Further proof, Paul says, that he was buried because burial proves he was dead. You don't bury a live person. He was really dead. He was really our substitute. And then God says, and then Paul says, that he was raised on the third day. God's power raised him. God raised him because God was satisfied with the sacrifice that he had made, the payment he had made for sin. Just as the high priest, when he would go behind the veil, if he didn't come out, God killed him back there if he did it wrong, when he took the blood to the mercy seat. But if he did it right, he came out alive. The resurrection is proof that God, through Christ, has satisfied the wrath of God. That God is satisfied, that the veil has been rent in two, and that we now can have access into the presence of a holy God. Sin has been dealt with in Christ. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord, I would ask you to consider some truths with me this morning. And I ask you to consider these with an open heart. First off, consider this. There is no way that you can please God yourself. There is no way that you can please God in your own efforts. There is no way that you can please God in your own intelligence. There's no way. Romans chapter 8 says this, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God. I see the law of God, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to be independent of God. Though I was created to be dependent, I want to be independent of God. For it is not, talking about the flesh, talking about the mind of man, it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God, Romans 8 says. You can't do it. There's no way you can do it. Secondly, if you continue in your sin and unbelief, then one day you will face the wrath of God. You will face the judgment of God. You will face hell. The Bible is very clear. Romans 3:10 says it this way, there is none righteous, not even one. Verse 23 of Romans chapter 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sins must die. And then in Luke chapter 13, Jesus says these words, I tell you, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. If you continue in your sin and unbelief, that is what awaits you. Number three, truth that you should consider is this, that God offers this salvation that has been sung about this morning. God offers this salvation freely to all who turn to Christ in faith. Revelation 21 says it like this, I am the Alpha, Jesus speaking. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of water of life without cost. Revelation 22:17 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Without cost, because He paid the price already on the cross. Isaiah 55 says it like this, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. God offers salvation freely, without cost, to those who turn to Christ in faith. Fourthly, salvation is only possible, and understand this, salvation is only possible because Christ perfect righteousness is imputed. That's an accounting term. It's credited to those who believe. It's not that you try to be righteous and then believe in Christ. No, you believe in Christ and He imputes righteousness to you. He makes you good enough and perfect enough to stand in the presence of a holy God. This righteousness cannot be earned by any religious works or meritorious efforts. It can be ours only because God imputes it to us by faith. Romans 4 says it like this, but to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Says later in that chapter, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Fifthly, only this imputed righteousness of Christ is good enough to make us acceptable to God. Even the Apostle Paul, who did all those good works, even the Apostle Paul, who did all those great things for God, he did not want to stand before God with his own righteousness. He knew that despite how faithful he was, and despite how much good he had done, the only hope he had for being justified before a holy God was the perfect righteousness that was imputed to him from a source outside himself. It's an alien righteousness. It's not my own righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. He found that righteousness in the perfect righteousness of Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, he says it like this, and I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. See, you need righteousness, because you're not righteous. There is no one who is righteous. And we can't make ourselves righteous. And that's why Christ came into the world and lived the perfect life that we could not live and died the death that we all deserve. Christ did it all. And we receive what Christ did for us by faith. Faith is receiving something. Faith is having that righteousness credited to our account. That's our prayer. That's why these folks have sung these songs today. Our prayer that you will trust Christ alone for righteousness and that He can make you acceptable to God. You know, there are only two religions in the world. Only two. I know you saw tons of churches coming here and you probably think, oh, there's just tons of religions. No, there's only two religions. The religion of human achievement, the religion that says I must do something to earn my way to God, the religion that says I must do things to appease a holy God, that I must go and do this and do that in order to make God like me, I must do certain things to please God, to make myself acceptable to Him. That is the religion of human achievement, and it comes under many labels. Or there is the religion of divine accomplishment. The religion of divine accomplishment says, I can't do anything. I can't do anything to make myself acceptable to God. And therefore, God did something about that. He came into the world, the person of Christ, and He lived that life that He demands, that perfection that He demands. He's a holy God. He lived it on our behalf. And He died the death that our sin says is the wages. For sin is death. He died that for us in our place. He is our substitute. That's the religion of divine accomplishment. Listen, you believe in one of those this morning. You do. We're all religious people. Even an atheist is religious. He's trusting something. Even it's himself. But the point is this. Are you trusting in what you have done, a righteousness of your own? Are you trusting in the righteousness of Christ alone? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, we would invite you to do that. We'd invite you to receive by faith what He has accomplished on the cross of what has been sung about this morning. Because that is the most important issue facing you. God came on a rescue mission in the person of Christ to rescue us from the wrath of God. God saved us from His own wrath in Jesus Christ. Well, listen, that's an invitation to you. I invite you to do that. If there's some, everybody take a card out of the pew in front of you. There's a card there. If everyone would just take a card. And if you have something that you would like for us to pray for you about, that's what we use these cards for, is if you have something you would like for us to pray for you about, you can put down that, any kind of prayer request that you might want to make. If you would like to have more information about what you've heard in this presentation this morning or in this gospel message that we have presented, there's a place where you can mark in there, and we'd be glad to send you some more information about how you can know Jesus Christ, about how you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We'd be glad to provide that information to you. Charlie and Steve will be down here at the front. They'll have the little name tags on. If you have some questions you want to ask right now, this morning, before you leave here, after we adjourn, if you want to ask them some questions, they'll be here, and they'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have about how to have a relationship with God or what it means to have a relationship with God, anything else you'd like to know about that, they'll be available to do that down here as well. So you can put it on your card, or you can ask before you leave, and they'll give you a little booklet and share that information with you. Also, when you leave this morning, on the table on the steps, there's a free gift for everyone here. It's a booklet called The Essential Jesus. Basically, it's the Gospel of Luke. If you want to find out more information from Jesus' own words in the Gospels, that's a great place to go. And maybe you have a friend that you would like to share that with, because you're a Christian. You have a friend you like. Feel free to take one to do that with. If we run out, just let us know. We'll get some more of those. We have other tracts available. We really believe in the mission that that these folks presented to us this morning, that we must be ambassadors for Christ. He has given us that mission to take the gospel into the world. An offering plate is at the ushers would come forward. We're going to receive an offering this morning. Listen, if you're a guest with us this morning, we don't expect you to put money in the offering plate, but do put the card in there. If you're a member, we expect you to put money in the offering plate. But our guests, please, just if you have questions or information that you'd like to know about our church, please use those cards to do that. Let me pray for us. Almighty God, We thank You so much for this day. We thank You, Father. We thank You for this time that we've had to hear the song, this great presentation of the greatest truth, the greatest, the most important message, the message of Jesus Christ, that He died for our sin, that He was buried, and that He rose again. And we praise You for that message this day, O God. And I pray that if there are those here this morning that have never trusted Christ, never put their faith in Him, that Your Spirit would move in their heart and that they would come to know the Savior. We praise You and we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.